What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode, what is this episode? This is episode 245, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan, who is, it looks like he's on dial-up, at least on my screen.
I mean, I hope I'm here. I don't know. Well, for the time being, I don't know. We're having some technical difficulties over on this side with the internet. We had some snow and ice like earlier in the week, and raining right now. Yeah, we had like 2 inches of snow early in the week. So we'll see if I stay on or not.
Yeah, you look very pixelated.
I look great on side, and on and you look about the same. So
yeah, but your audio, at least. For me, hearing it through everything, your audio is good. So we can still have
people don't want to look at me anyways. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can just, you know, just put me up here.
Problem solved.
And like when I did that, now you look better on my screen. You don't look as pixelated, which is pretty funny.
Maybe it's you.
It could be. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully Ryan's internet keeps hopefully he doesn't get disconnected throughout our, we'll probably be here for about an hour, I would say, talking about tech. A lot to talk about this week. RTX 3070 was, all the reviews are live, so we can talk about that. Just this morning, or this afternoon, or whatever you want to call it, the Radeon RX 6000 series was announced as well. So we have that to talk about. We have reviews to talk about. We have everything to talk about. So pretty excited to talk about tech. So let's get started with reviews. And before we do that, anybody who wants to follow along, we have our show notes, which are right here, that you could go ahead and follow along. So everything that we're going to be talking about, you can follow along right here. And if you are in the live stream, if you are in the chat, and you want to say hi, definitely do that, definitely engage, ask us questions, and we'll definitely get to them. Ryan's usually good at picking out the questions before I see them on my screen, but I'll try to be more cognizant of the comments in here. So we'll start with our reviews this week. And we have one product that we actually saw, or it was actually announced. I don't know. Yeah, they did have it. I don't know if it was a working version, but they did show it to us all the way back in January at CES, back when we can go places and see people and not have masks on. So we got a look at a commercially available solid state drive from SK Hynix. And SK Hynix is genuinely, they're known as like a NAND manufacturer. If you remove the heat spreaders on, say, like your DDR4 memory, a lot of times it's SK Hynix. If you look at your graphics card, a lot of time the memory on there is SK Hynix. They're one of the largest. They might be, are they bigger than Micron? I'm not even sure if they are.
I don't know. To me, in my head, just like, as a, just to throw it out there, I feel like they are bigger than them, but I could be totally wrong. So
yeah, in any case, they're very big. They're a very big company. And mainly what they do is they sell their NAND for other companies to put on their products. That's what Micron does, you know. But they, you know, in January, they told us that they're coming out with commercial products, or not commercial, or consumer products, rather, products that's they're going to sell directly to the consumer under the SK Hynix name. So the first one is their Gold P31, which is a Gen 3 M.2 NVMe solid state drive. And the reason I was excited about this first is because everything on this drive is made by SK Hynix. Everything. So, of course, the NAND is. The controller is as well. The cache chip is also. And they control the firmware. So they have ultimate control over the drive. Typically, when you buy, unless it's like from Western Digital, I think there might be the other maybe only the other one. Maybe Samsung too.
Yeah, I mean, you're sourcing parts from different vendors. You're not typically making everything. But
typically, when you buy even a normal SSD or an NVMe SSD, the parts come from different companies, so you don't have full control. With this drive, you get full control. Everything on this drive is made by SK Hynix, which allows them to fully optimize the drive for what they want. So the thing that's really interesting about this drive is that it uses a four-channel controller, whereas most high-performance Gen 3 NVMe SSDs use an eight-channel controller. So this four-channel controller can actually perform pretty much the same as an eight-channel controller, which is very impressive. So the drive itself, like, there's not much to it. I am going to have to say it. It does have a green PCB. It's
a green PCB.
You know, I still have to point it out because, again, especially when you get in on the lower end motherboards, you get out of the high-end chipsets, not all of them have heat sinks. So you will see this, just something I have to point out. But it's your typical 80 millimeter NVMe SSD, not much to it. But if we go into performance, it does a really good job. Let me go to our comparison first. At the end here, it is basically one of the best Gen 3 NVMe SSDs that we've ever tested. Crystal Disk Mark, I know this graph is hard to see, but you can see at the top, it is the top. And then Crystal Disk Mark, right, it's at the top. Atto Disk Benchmark, it was only slightly beaten by the WD Black NVMe drive. On under Atto Disk Mark, under right, it's the top one. And PC Mark 8 storage benchmark, it is the top drive. And the reason they're able to get this really great performance too is that it's one of the first, I think it is the first drive to make use of a 128 layer 3D NAND, which is why that four channel controller can perform better than eight channel controllers. So that's like incredibly, it's incredibly impressive. I know hard drives aren't like, they're not really that exciting. I know this isn't the most exciting thing to talk about, but being able to do that. And then on top of that, the drive doesn't overheat at all. The controller's fine. It doesn't overheat.
Good.
You don't need to put a heat sink on it. Like it just, you can just run it, no problem. And the other thing that I really like to see is this. So this is the Ada 64 disk benchmark. And what this does is this is going to write your entire drive. So you can see 0 to 100%, and this is our write. With most NVMe SSDs that use cache, you'll get to about 10%, and then you'll see a massive drop. Like, you know, this is our normal performance. You can see right here, it would drop all the way down a lot. Here, not only does it maintain for basically 60% of the drive, which is incredibly impressive. I've reviewed a ton of these drives. You don't normally see this. When it does start to have a little bit of an issue, it's not like go all the way down to the bottom and have like no performance. You're still getting decent performance. It's a little sketchy, obviously. But that's their HyperWrite technology that has a lot to do with, again, them controlling the cache chip, also with them controlling the firmware. This is a drive that, like, I think everybody should have if they're looking for a Gen 3 drive. You don't have to worry about overheating. It's priced incredibly well. Let me look at the pricing here on this. The 1 terabyte is $134.99, and they back it up with a 5-year warranty. A lot of these drives only have 3-year warranty. It's a 5-year warranty. It's SK Hynix, so they're not going anywhere. So you know that warranty is going to be good. I gave it a 10 out of 10 and a recommended award. And they just had this on sale for, I think, $100 for Prime Day. So it's an awesome drive. I'm really excited about it, even though it's like it's an NVMe drive, but it's pretty easy. Like I said, I've reviewed a lot of these and it's one of the best ones I've seen as of late. So, and again, a lot of you probably haven't heard of SK Hynix in the consumer realm, but this is a drive that I would highly recommend. So if you are looking to get that NVMe SSD.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this laptop over here. I put, you know, more memory in it a couple weeks ago. And right now it has a SATA based SSD in there in the M.2 slot, but it'll take a NVMe drive. So might be something to look at.
And again, this doesn't overheat. So laptops typically don't either give you room or they don't have cooling options when it comes to like a heat sink or something like that. So yeah, like I said, totally I'm all for this drive. I'm very excited about it. Cool. Luke in the chat on Facebook says, non-computer product you guys should look at is WKey Specs. They rival Gunner. I was listening to a podcast earlier, and there was a commercial for, I don't know what they're called, but they weren't Gunner. They were one of them. I was like, maybe I should do that because
HyperX makes them as well.
Yeah, HyperX makes them as well. Blue light glasses. I do spend a lot of time in front of this monitor and this computer, and I should probably, and I do get headaches. I had a headache today. I don't get them every day. It's like, once every couple of weeks, but I would like to see if it actually makes a difference, right? You hear blue light glasses, you hear that you, if somebody like us, you're in front of a computer all day, so am I, so is pretty much everybody
now.
Yeah, everybody now, and most people listening to us on this podcast. So I think that,
I turn on like the night, mode on my phone after 8 o'clock, and same thing with my laptop. My laptop kicks on and does that as well. I don't do it on my main system. I just don't like that abrupt shift, like if I'm playing games or something, but I like it, in the evenings, and I'd be curious to see, maybe something we can look at.
Yeah. Yeah. We should definitely look into that. Moving on to our second review this week. I took a look at the Giel. Is that how you say it? Giel?
That's why I always say it, yeah.
I always say Giel Orion DDR4 3600 16 gigabytes memory kit. So this is a memory kit that is designed specifically, at least they say, specifically for AMD or Ryzen systems. I might call them out and say that that's just a gimmick. and I'll tell you why in a second. But this is a memory kit that has no RGB lighting. So it's something if you are not a fan of RGB or don't want to pay the extra money to have RGB, even though you might not want it, whatever. This is another option for that. So these, again, they run at 3600 megahertz with timings of 18, 22, 22, 42 at 1.35 volts. And they're, like I said, I do like the heat spreaders. They're red. Like that kind of goes with AMD, but the Intel ones are the same ones. They're either red or like a titanium gray. Kind of looks like gunmetal almost. And they look pretty nice. Again, we talk so much about RGB lighting, but like heat spreaders, I'm a huge fan of good looking ones. These look pretty good. You have this G.
They're not like super flashy, but they're still cool.
Yeah, they're like decently cool, I think. And then you flip them over, and to denote that they're the Ryzen version, you get a Ryzen sticker that's a cricket sticker there.
And a huge barcode sticker. I hate that.
Yeah, I do hate that is on almost every memory that you get. But that it's called. They're called the Ryzen or AMD edition. And the only thing that denotes that is this sticker that's, again, put on there. It's not part of the heat spreader. I just think that's just, like, again, you can run these on an Intel system. I don't think these are specifically optimized for an AMD system. I think it's just to get Ryzen users to...
Well, they're not the only,
Yeah, and again, they're not the only ones that do that. But... Yeah. If it is an AMD version and you're promoting it as such, why didn't you make a heat spreader that has a Ryzen logo on it or something, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Or even if it says AMD edition or just something that denotes it as different rather than a sticker would have felt that would have been nicer. And the other thing I didn't like about these is this top part or the spine of the heat spreader is plastic. Not a fan, just plastic. That's just like, again, heat spreaders, like these most memory these days aren't really, unless you're crazy overclocking,
really need it, yeah.
They're not going to overheat. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a quality thing. I think that the quality, it just plastic is not high quality in my opinion. So overall, I think that this memory looks good, but it could have just, been done a little bit better. Overclocking we test this on Ryzen, when you get to 3600 megahertz, that's already pretty high for Ryzen anyways. Like technically at 3600 megahertz, this memory is already overclocked anyways. But we were like, I was able to get it up to 3800 megahertz without touching anything. Although every other test ran except for 3D Mark, it would always throw me an error. Couldn't figure out why. Bump voltage still gave me the error. So I think these are, for the most part, set at 3600 megahertz. You could bump them up to 38. You might have the same issue that I had with 3D Mark. It was, you know,
just not liking it, huh?
Yeah, just if for some reason it didn't like 3D Mark at 3800 megahertz. But overall, the memory performs really well. You guys can go in the review and check out all the graphs. If you comparative, it's pretty good. I mean, we haven't tested that many. Like the other highest one is the Viper 4 Blackout from Patriot, which is also 3600 megahertz. It very much excelled past the Geo memory. It's still good. It's still, again, you know, it does what it's supposed to do. When it comes to DDR4 memory, it's all based on timings. They're not the tightest timings, but it is 3600 megahertz, so you kind of keep that into account. I only gave it an 8 out of 10 just for the fact that the Ryzen sticker seems cheap and the plastic top edge also seems cheap. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Just those little details that, you know, make an impression. And
yeah, I think that, you know, we... Most memory that we get, it's all the entire thing's metal. I really sure. haven't experienced many kits that have a type of plastic. The only time they have a type of plastic, if it is a diffuser for RGB lighting per se, right? So that is that review. So go ahead and check that out. Two pretty good products this week. I'm pretty, like I said, very excited about the NVMe SSD. And that moves us on to Casemont Friday, and we have an excellent build, which this person built for their wife to play Sims. And if you look at this build, that's a pretty awesome computer to play Sims with. This yeah. is from Designs by HPS. He has done a bunch of builds. We've featured a bunch of his builds. This is a very nice Corsair water yeah. balloon build. I love the lines on it. It is done in the new Corsair. What case is this? This is the Corsair.
Is that the one that they called their digital case or the
it,
the 400D?
Yeah, the 4000D.
4000D, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah. And it's I just really like the lines. All Corsair water cooling as well. And the lines are absolutely perfect in this for me. I think that it's solid. It just
it looks good. I'd like to see, I don't know if there's a view of like looking down because they're using instead of fans up top.
Yeah.
Right. They're using, yeah, that looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. That we've seen this become a new thing lately is these distro plates. We've seen distro plates become a new thing, but distro plates that kind of go into where your fans would go up top is sort of becoming a trend. And I actually like it. I think it looks really cool. Obviously, it eliminates some of your cooling potential, yep. but I still think it's pretty awesome. And again, this just goes really well. And one thing I did want to point out, let's see if there's a picture where you can see it very well. You can see he has these, I don't know what you want to call those, kind of like organizers that not only bring stability to the hard tubing, but they also organize the cabling, which I think.
What if those are like custom 3D printed or something?
Maybe they do look metal, just based on the reflection, but I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah.
But in any case, just a solid build. I think it's really good. It's well done. And again, he built this for his wife to play Sims. So it's like I said, it's a very, very awesome build there. We do have pictures as well as the video that he made. So if you want to check that out, go ahead. It is in the article. And of course, we always have our full section of Casemont Friday builds. So if you want to, you know, get some inspiration for a build or just see what's possible with computers, if you're new to it, we have a ton of builds in our Casemont Friday section. And we're still giving away a keyboard. We are giving away a Corsair K100 RGB. That is their latest flagship gaming keyboard. It has the most RGB that you'll see in a Corsair keyboard. It has PPD keycaps. It has their new Optical switches, which feel awesome and are super fast. It has their new IQ wheel, which you guys can see up here. It's just an awesome keyboard. We already reviewed it. A ton of time to get in on this one, but you just enter through Gleam. You sign up for our newsletter, and then there's 13 extra ways you can enter. So I think you can get a total of, I don't know how many, because some of the entries are worth more. But I think you can, like, there's probably up to at least 15 different ways to enter after you sign up for the newsletter. So it's super easy. Get your entry in. Just giving back to you guys who, of course, are part of our community. So
cool.
And then we already lined up another contest after that one. So we got a lot of stuff going on with contests. So we'll move on to news this week. And I think the big thing, well, one of the big things is the RTX 3070. Now, we didn't get one to review, but the reviews are out, so we can obviously talk about it. Basically, from what I've seen, it's a 2080 Ti at what, $499?
Yep.
The price.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah. Because how much was a 2080 Ti?
Too much.
$1,200?
$1,200,
yeah. Yeah. I will bring up a review from our friends over at PC Test Bench. Damon does really good work over there. And we can just kind of look at some of the graphs that he has. You can kind of see where it sits at 3D Mark Firestrike, obviously beating the 2080 Ti. You can see the 3080 there. Firestrike Extreme, again, beats the 2080 Ti. And then it also beats it at all the Firestrike tests. It beats it. We'll go. He has ray tracing. It also 3D Mark Port Royal. It also beats it. You know, it's basically it. Let me try to
equal to it. Or a little better than the,
yeah, equal to
2080 Ti
or a little better. I'm gonna see if he has a gaming test. So you know, Far Cry 5, it's beating it at 1440p. So I think it's going to be, and if you look at these, even like at 4K, Far Cry New Dawn, on Ultra, it's still hitting 72 FPS. So definitely a 1440p card. You could do 4K at a lot of titles at over 60 FPS. So I think the problem is, and again, I think you can buy these tomorrow, the 29th, right? Or is it the 30th? The availability.
I don't remember on that one.
Yeah. The problem is going to be availability. That's going to be,
we assume, right?
Yeah, we assume the because this, for a lot of people, the 3080, yeah, it's great. It future proofs you, but it's also what,
priced out of their range, maybe?
Priced out of their range. It's still super hard to find anyways. So the 3070 would be in your price range. And again, most people are gaming at 1080p or 1440p. There's not a lot of people gaming at 4K still. And so it's a perfect card for so many people. It's in that price range. But again, it's going to come down to availability. And that's the biggest thing with the 3070 is availability. I don't know all of the people who were selling the 2080 Ti's who have been selling 20, like, what do they sell it for now?
Right. Yeah. Well, and how do you feel, like, what did you pay for it? Right. And now what do you have to sell it for? Are people losing money on these cards now if they had them in stock?
I don't know. It's very, like I said, I definitely applaud Nvidia for bringing out a card that indeed, like, again, based on the reviews that we've seen, is indeed better, at least by a little bit, than the 2080 Ti at, I don't know what percentage difference the price is because I can't do math, but, you know, going from a card that was $1,200 to the same performance and a card that's $499 is pretty awesome. I would say
pretty awesome. You feel bad for people that maybe bought one of those cards early in the year. And this is out, but I mean, you're going to hit that anyways. And,
yeah. I mean, it's really bad that people spent $1,200. Maybe they were building a whole new computer. They spent $1,200 when a year later, or, you know, sometime, I mean, especially even, it could have been 6 months ago.
$700 for other parts.
Yeah. They could have, again, it's, but you can't be mad at NVIDIA. I guess if you're that person, you're definitely mad at NVIDIA. But for the most part, you can't be mad at NVIDIA because they decrease their prices considerably. We're going to be trying to get one into review. If not, I'm probably just going to buy one if I can find one to buy, so we can get a review out for you guys. So definitely, like I said, check it. If you're looking to get one, check out reviews. We always say that. But for the most part, from what I've seen, the reviews that I've read, a little bit better than 2080 Ti in most scenarios, at $499, and you can't complain about that at all. So that's pretty pretty exciting there. And then the other big thing, the super big thing, happened this morning. You actually had to remind me that it was happening this morning.
Yeah, I was like, you watching this? What? Yeah. Oh, whoops. No.
Was that the that AMD had their announcement of the Radeon RX 6000 series. We basically, for the past 3 weeks, that's all we've been talking about is all the leaks for the the Radeon RX 6000 series. This is their answer to, I guess, the RTX 30 series. And I have my caveats, and we talked about this earlier when we were talking before, you know, earlier today. But we'll give you the specs, and then we'll talk about everything. So they first announced a Radeon RX 6800 XT. It's going to feature 72 compute units, game clock of 2015 megahertz, boost clock of 2250 megahertz, 16 gigabytes of GDDR6, 300 watt power draw, and that's compared to a 320 watt power draw of the RTX 3080. It's priced at $649, so that is $50 cheaper than the RTX 3080. If you look at performance, they did provide graphs in certain games. You can see that in most of the games at a lower power draw, that's either they're even or they're actually beating the RTX 3080. So one, we expected a card that would be in the performance level of the RTX 2080 Ti. They're competing directly against essentially the flagship graphics card.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. So if you look at these, it's all very close. I think they're only getting beat in the Division 2.
Resident Evil 3.
Yeah, a couple of them. They're at 1440p. And again, that you have to realize that with drivers, these numbers can change, obviously. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you'll definitely see that. That's at 1440p. If we go to 4K gaming, we can see that, again, very, very close and beating in many of these games. A good amount of these games are highly optimized for AMD, especially Battlefield 5. But again, it's competing. It's competing with essentially the flagship of NVIDIA, which is very impressive in my opinion. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
So that was kind of like the first big announcement. The second big announcement was the Radeon RX 6800. So no XT on the end there. This will have 60 compute units. Of course, that's compared to the 72 that's on the XT. Game clock of 1815 megahertz, boost clock of 2105 megahertz, also 16 gigabytes of GDDR6. This card will only have a power draw of 250 watts. It's nice to see that we have the same amounts of VRAM on each card. That means that you don't have to worry. If you wanted to do even at lower quality, you could still do 4K. You know, you could still, you have the enough available VRAM for certain applications, which is nice.
Yep.
Looking at this performance, they tested it against a 2080 Ti, which is essentially the same as a 3070. 3070 is a little bit better, but of course, they don't have access to a 3070 because it's not available to the public yet. And it's beating it in all of the tests at 1440 by a decent amount. You know, this is 1440. Again, this is 4K. So it's doing a really good job. Now, the thing that kind of turned me off about this card, its price. It is $579. Yep. So $79 more expensive than the 37. So, we don't have a direct comparison. It's kind of hard to persuade me at that price point. I don't know what your thoughts on that price is, but
yeah, that one's not as like enticing as the 6800 XT is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just that I wish they could have done a little better on the price for the 6800, and who knows, maybe they'll adjust.
Yeah, we have seen that recently with the prices being adjusted. Mm-hmm. Lisa Su did one more thing. I think
that's like every tech launch.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, every tech launch. And we got a Radeon RX 6900 XT. Actually, before we get to that, the 68 and the 6800 XT will be available on November 18th. That's when you'll be able to pick it up. If there's not crazy, like again, availability issues like we saw before. Yep. So now onto the 6900 XT. This card is going to feature 80 compute units. That's over 72 in of the 6800 XT and 60 of the 6800. Game clock and boost clock are actually the same as the 6800 XT. So 2015 for the game clock, 2250 for the boost clock. Same 16 gigabytes of GDDR6. Also has the same board power as the 6800 XT at 300 watts. Now, AMD compared this to the 3090, which I guess it makes sense to because that's the next card up from the 3080.
Right.
But again, the 3090 is a Titan replacement. It has 24 gigabytes of GDDR6. It's not a comparable card.
Right. And we even said it's not a gaming card, right? It's just,
yeah. Yes. It's not. But they did compare it at 4K. And you can see it does beat or come close to beating, or it's very close in a lot of these benchmarks at 4K. So that's pretty impressive considering that the 3090 is in fact NVIDIA's fastest consumer graphics card.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beating it in their benchmarks. And they're pricing this card at $1,000. So a 3090 is $1,499.
Yeah.
And this is $500 cheaper.
I think that's amazing. I know you've got your caveats, but I'm gonna fight back against them a little.
So here's the interesting thing I see. And I pointed this out. If you follow my personal account on Twitter or if you follow me on Facebook, I pointed this out today earlier. I saw it as kind of like I was actually writing this article and I saw this. So if you look at the 6800 XT, the graphs, everything looks good. There's no fine print. There's nothing, right? 4K, yep. 1440p, nothing. And then you go to the 6800, and it's hard to see. Oh, there it goes. See that? See where it says smart access memory plus smart access memory, right?
Yep.
And then you see on the 6900 XT. You see plus rage mode plus smart access memory. So I didn't really cover the smart access memory or rage mode in this article. But basically smart access memory basically allows for a performance boost if you have an AMD Ryzen 5000 series processor, an X570 motherboard, and a Radeon RX 6000 series graphics card. You'll see a performance boost. So these numbers with the smart access memory are essentially boosted, mm-hmm. right? You're essentially not like if I have an Intel processor, this would not be my score, right. Essentially, in all of this. Yep. Doesn't matter. This would not be my score. It's very misleading to the consumer just because you think, okay, it doesn't matter my setup. This is what I'm going to. I mean, obviously, we know your setup matters. But it's like if I have to have a brand new processor, an X570 motherboard, I have to turn it on in the BIOS to even have these scores. And again, they showed the performance. It's not a whole lot. I think in the max game, which I think was It might have been Forza. I forget the game which had 13% more performance with smart access memory turned on. I should have brought up that slide that they had, but one game was 13%. A lot of them were like 4 or 5%, but it's still misleading to show that.
See, I don't think it's misleading because they're putting it right there, right? Like they're telling you, hey, you build like within our ecosystem and these are the results that you can expect.
They're not
like leaving it off of there,
but it's on the sky.
I don't have a problem with it. And then it's not small either. It's right next to the numbers.
I do. They completely admit all this stuff. And if you go into the fine print in the slide deck, mm-hmm. it tells you the system spec. It does all that. Now the 6900 XT. So it has plus rage mode, plus smart access memory. Right. So rage mode is built into their software. It's basically a one click overclock. Mm-hmm. So essentially these numbers are not only do you need a RX 5000 series brand new processor.
Sure.
You also need a X570 motherboard. You also need, of course, your Radeon RX 6000 series graphics card. You need to enable it in the BIOS. You need to install the Radeon software and enable rage mode for these numbers. So
That's fine. I saved $500. Don't care.
So I just feel it's very. Not that, again, they at least they put it here, right? At least it's there. It's just we know people, we know consumers. I look mm-hmm. at this, okay, it's better at this, this, and this. I don't look at this down here. That's all.
Yeah. No, I get it, right? There's not a way to do it in a.
And I don't. I guess
you could put them in the same system and don't enable that. But if that's a feature of the product,
yeah,
right, and it's like a performance enhancing feature, you're going to want to show it.
Yes, and I completely understand why. Like we talked about this many times, if you build on AMD and AMD has graphics, they're going to optimize it somehow. And
yep.
smart access memory is the way to do it. I'm just not a fan of how it's presented there. That's all. That's
sure.
You know, yeah, that's
I it. Mean, but you know, if they throw in, like, if they would have thrown that card into the same, like, NVIDIA system, right? Show us those numbers as well. Obviously, they're not going to do that because I have a feeling those numbers are going to be underneath NVIDIA's numbers mm-hmm. for probably every one of those tests.
Yeah.
But again, that price point, like, it's
well, here's and I called this when yep. I'm gonna say this. I called this when the RTX 30 series was announced. I said, we yep. have a massive hole between the 3080 and the 3090 because it's $799 and $1499. There's a massive hole there, and at $1,000, which I did say. We're going to see an NVIDIA card at $1,000. I guarantee you that we will probably see an NVIDIA card at $1,000 to be a little bit better than the 3080. Of course, wouldn't jeopardize the 3090. It probably will be a 30. How much VRAM does the 3080 have? Off the top of my head, I can't think.
16.
So yeah, it's like 16. So it will probably be a 3090 with 16 gigabytes of VRAM, and they'll call it a 3080 Ti. I'm guessing, could be
okay. Right.
That's my
come in at $1,000.
Yeah, come in at $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess because again, that's way for NVIDIA. That's way too much of a price gap, and I've said that for a while.
Especially when they fill up every slot with a card, anyways, right?
Yeah,
we're just used to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing. Real quick in the chat, Kosher Tech is in the house. I think this is like his like fourth week in a row, being on the live stream. William is also in the house saying what's up to him as well. I think the biggest thing with this, one, great to see finally AMD competing on the high end, right? We have cards that are comparable to flagship cards on the NVIDIA side, which is really good. That's my one takeaway. So they didn't kind of bow down and just say, oh, we're going to compete in the mid-range. We're not going to go for high end. I think a lot of people criticize them for that on the 5700 series. So that's out of the way. Second big thing, I think, is availability. Mm-hmm. If these cards are readily available, they are going to sell because people don't have another option. Why would you one, you can't get a 3000 series card. If 3070s aren't available, you can't get them, right? They're sold out everywhere. So if you want to build a computer with your Christmas money or your holiday money or whatever, this is what you're going, this is what you're, because you're not going to buy a 20 series card that's prices that's super inflated anyways, right? You're not.
I don't foresee us seeing like major price drops in the 20 or the 20 series. Yeah. We might, but I don't think it'd be worth going to that generation.
Yeah. We have the full presentation embedded in the article if you guys want to check it out. Did you have any other thoughts on it?
No, I was excited. Like I was actually pleasantly surprised at those numbers. Like not even comparing them to like, I didn't expect them to actually have a almost, you know, matching product for NVIDIA's offerings. That surprised me. I thought that they might reach the performance levels of the 3080. But I figured they would have a little less performance and maybe just good enough pricing to make it worthwhile. So that's what I was pretty excited about, was seeing those graphs. And obviously, like we say with everything, wait till reviews are out from independent sources to kind of make your buying decisions and everything. There's still stuff that can change between now and then.
Do you think they'll drop the price of the 6800?
Probably not. Maybe closer to holiday.
You know what I mean?
We're already close to holiday.
Yeah. Is that if the 3070 is not available, they have no reason to.
There's no reason. Why?
Yeah, there's no reason. I just thought about that. But if there are tons of 3070s, they have to drop that price because it's almost the same. I mean, an extra $79. AMD for the 3700 series, I think, proved they're in the game and their drivers are up to date. We don't have all the issues that we had before, but I still don't think, if I think of a reliable card for the most part, I choose NVIDIA. I'm more sided towards NVIDIA in that part. So a card that's around the same performance, $79 more, isn't going to do it for me. That's my take on it. That's exciting. We have new processors coming. We got new graphics cards coming.
So much coming out.
Might have another new graphics card from NVIDIA if I predicted it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, it's an exciting time. There's a lot of new products coming out. I'll just say that in the next coming months, because we don't have CES in January. So there's a lot of stuff coming. AMD, besides that, on the corporate front, they made some pretty big news by acquiring, how do you say this company's name?
Xilinx.
They actually had talked about it for a while. We heard rumblings about it for a while, but they bought them. I think it's a full stock deal for $35 billion, which basically, I forget what, who did NVIDIA or AMD?
They just bought.
Intel bought Altera in 2015. So how do you say it again? Xilinx. They basically make SoCs. So this will definitely help AMD. And again, they had talked about it for a while. $35 billion is
insane.
Yeah, it's insane. So if you want to read up on it, we have the article. I know it's like, it doesn't really involve consumer stuff, but we definitely wanted to mention that. And then talking about graphics cards in NVIDIA, there are rumblings that NVIDIA could plan to put a graphics card between the RTX 3070 and RTX 3080. So a card between $499 and $699. Again, for NVIDIA, that's a lot of money. That's plenty of room. That one's a tougher sell for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Compared to something between the 3080 and 3090, the 3070,
you're at the performance level of last gen's technology, right? The advantage there is like, you obviously gain some efficiencies and maybe some better performance and obviously a better price than the 2080, you know, TI was, but you're still at that level of performance of the last generation. That's what always kind of stinks of buying that mid-range card, right? Is you're like, well, I'm getting top of the line performance of last generation. Of course, I'm saving money. So it's almost like you're going back in time with performance, but you're saving money. So,
I mean, what the based on this leak, 7,424 CUDA cores, 58 streaming multiprocessors, 232 tensor cores, 320-bit memory bus on whatever this is that was leaked. It's like, how are you going to differentiate something that, I guess, I mean, obviously you can make something that's going to sit in between performance wise, but it's like, I really like direct segmentation of products. Like, you know what you're getting with the 3070, you know you're getting with the 3080, you know you're getting for the 3090, and you kind of, if you put something in the middle, especially something so close as a 3070 and 3080, it just, to me, it doesn't fit well.
And then you have, like, so that's like the stock card, right? Then you have AIBs that are like, oh, hey, we put better cooling on this, and here's our OC version. And now, like, that 3070 is almost up to that card that might come out, you know, that sits between the 3070 and 3080. And that just confuses it even more.
I would say, again, give us a 3060 and then go below that on whatever your plan is. And then give us a year. Give us a year of normal cards. I'm okay with a 3080 Ti to sit at $1,000. I'm okay with that. Beyond that, leave it segmented so consumers know what to buy. That's my, you know, my thing. That's my consensus on that. Kayla's in the chat. She says hello from Artesia, New Mexico. Hello.
Evening.
At least you can see Ryan's face now.
Is it? How's it looking, by the way?
You look good. I bring you.
I mean, it looks fine to me, but
No, I think your internet figured itself out. You were having issues, so
yeah, I was. I did have like a crazy. I did a speed test earlier, and I'm supposed to have like 300 to 350 megs, and it said I had 780 megs. So I don't know what was going on, but
yeah,
who knows?
So we saw this. RTX 3080 Ti with 12 gigabytes of GDDR6. Are you sure the 3080 does it have 12 or does it have 16? I think it has 12. You look that up while we're talking about that. Okay. It has 10. It has 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would have 12. So again, like I said, I think that a 3080 Ti could have, again, you're going to put more VRAM on it and you're going to boost the speed a little bit. I think that would, again, and you're going to put it in that performance and price, again, $1,000 to compete with the 6900 XT. I think that's where it's going to, this makes complete sense to me. I definitely see it happening because as of right now, NVIDIA has no competition against the 6900 XT. You can't say the 3090 competes against it because it's not even remotely close in the price brackets. $500 difference.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see it. I think we'll see it maybe by the end of the year, if not at like at January time. But probably before the end of the year. I think they have to react at some point, right?
Yeah. Just knowing them, that's their MO, feels like lately. Last couple launches.
We have another report about the RTX 3070. Seems like we've been talking about that a lot. But they say it's going to have a larger supply compared to the 3080 and 3090.
I go back to how much of this is like planned manipulation of their stock, you know, and how much of it is, I don't know. Oh, we ramped things up because you guys sure like our video cards.
Yeah.
You know, I it's just too, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. Again, I think these are available either tomorrow or the next day. I'm going to try to buy one. So we'll see if I can buy one. If I can buy one, I assume that most people can then, I guess.
You're just a regular guy.
Yeah, I'm just a regular dude. So if I can buy one, I would like to buy, I w- all the 3080 and the 3090 that we have tested are aftermarket cards. I would like to get a NVIDIA card to run it and see what this the cooling is, because I haven't really had time to really like read full in-depth reviews on the cooling system. Would like to actually test that myself and see in a case, you know, if this actually is a good cooling system. But but yeah, I would hope that, again, if they want to compete against AMD on graphics cards, they need to have availability, because nobody can seem to get cards. So yeah. We also have RTX 30 Mobility, or their mobile graphics cards, which will come in kind of like we've seen them for a while. Every time we go to CES, we see unreleased laptops that have NVIDIA, you know, the mobility versions of, of cards. We see that we'll probably see an RTX 3080 Max Q, RTX 3070 Max Q, RTX 3060, a Max Q, and a Max P piece of performance. One, the Qs are to be low power, of course, so you have, if you're unplugged, you have at least life, some battery life when you're gaming. Typically it's an hour and a half, but you still get it, you know what I mean? So they say that these will be announced right around CES time, which again is when we see this anyways. I don't think anything would be ready for holiday season. I just don't. It's not enough time to have these.
Yeah, these cards are pretty new. Chips are pretty new to get them ahead of the new year. It was always interesting to see the new cards in laptops at CES, though. Kind of just something, you know, we don't do a lot of like looking at laptops. I don't even know the last time we've had like a laptop in to review or look at. It's
been a while.
But no, it's cool to see. I'm kind of looking for a new one. I don't know.
Are you gonna go to the gaming? I mean, you always have had a gaming laptop,
right? And that's kind of the thing I go back and forth with. I'm like, I don't game with it, but I want to have some power in it too. So
I was doing the iPad for a while.
For
email, social media. Even in the website stuff, like writing reviews, iPad is amazing. You get amazing battery life. You get the small little thing that you can take anywhere. It's great for on a plane. I bought a keyboard case thingy.
I was going to say. I think you would have said something different if the last 8 months hadn't gone the way they were, right? Because you were trying to do that right around CES, right? Beginning of the year. Isn't that when you got it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And changed over to it. I think you would have had more travel like you typically do in these last few months, and I think that device would have become more like of a staple in your like roundup of
gear. I mostly use it like before bed. I use it's an app, but it's like a web app called Notion for like to-do lists and things like that. I do that on there. Obviously I do Kindle, so I all my books are on the iPad. I obviously don't carry around physical book. But yeah, it's like I always, and again, I am looking for a new laptop as well. There's certain things I cannot do on my iPad, or the iPad doesn't do well when it comes to certain productivity. Obviously, video editing is a huge one. I guess you can do it, but there's not good apps to do it. It's, you want to do it on a, you know. But yeah, I always go back. It's like, do I want an Ultrabook or do I want like a big laptop? And there's pros and cons of each. Of course, the biggest thing with having a big laptop is it's big. And it takes up space.
It's heavy.
Two is that if you do, I would go to coffee shops and I would work from a coffee shop or whatever. And a lot of times when you go to these coffee shops, you don't necessarily have a plug. It just happens. Yep. And if you're on one of these powerful laptops, you get an hour, 2 hours,
unplugged. Roll in with a battery on a two-wheeler.
So that's the conundrum I'm always finding myself in. I will likely go I'll likely go the Ultrabook. I just like something, you know.
Yep, sleek.
And again, I don't play a whole lot of games normally. So, and when I'm traveling, I'm traveling. I want to experience whatever I'm at. I'm not, you know, so
hanging out in the hotel.
That's my that's my two cents on it. But again, iPad, and they're very cheap. Like the I bought a, I don't know what gen I bought, but it was an older one, and it's flawless. So like, there's no, it doesn't, like, you know, however old that iPad is, like if I had a laptop, mm-hmm. it would probably be pretty laggy. Just putting that out there. But going back to computer stuff, more computer stuff that we're talking about. A new leaked benchmark on the Ryzen 9 5950X, which will be their 16 core to replace the 3950X, that leaked. And the big thing with it, obviously beyond multi-core performance, is single core performance. It showed the CPU-Z benchmark, it showed 690 points. And if you look at that, that's beating
a big jump.
Yeah, that is a massive jump in single core performance. And the reason why single core performance is important has a lot to do with gaming. That's why Intel chips, and if you look at this score here, it's almost all Intel in the high end of the single core. And if this 5950X? Yeah, 5950X is crushing it here. That's a big deal, and that will relate to better gaming performance. So that's pretty exciting to see that. Again, I think you will see single core performance do pretty good on these. That was a big thing this time around, I believe. So that is that's very exciting, I think.
It's cool. Talking about, I'm excited to see what that single core performance gets us, because Intel's always been able to say, or recently, hey, we've got the best gaming processor.
Yeah, that's always something they can say. It doesn't matter if it was, even if it was slower, doesn't matter.
Right. If the clock speed was lower, if your gaming performance was better.
If it was $200 more expensive, doesn't matter. Still beat shit gaming, and that's what they could always say. So we'll see this time around if that's different. Talking about gaming, one of the most anticipated game of 2020 has been delayed once again. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again. Mm-hmm. I don't know what number of delay this is, but this is another one. Again, this game was announced in 2012,
I think.
12, yeah. So they put out this thing on Twitter, which I'll read real quick once it loads here. It says, today we've decided to move the release date of Cyberpunk 2077 by 21 days. New release date is December 10th. So again, December 10th is a new day. The biggest reason they said is shipping the game for the current gen. So they're actually preparing 9 different versions of the game. Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, or Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS4 Pro, PS5, PC, and Stadia.
Just a few.
That's a lot of versions that you need for this game. This is a game that I'm not incredible. I mean, I've been excited for. I probably will get it just because I want to play it on the 3090 that I have. It's still getting it in for the holiday season, I think. People generally are off work at the end of the year. So getting it in, hopefully there's not any more delays and they get it out, because if it doesn't launch in 2020, people are going to be very, very upset. There's a lot of people upset that it's been delayed. But you'll get it December 10th.
Unless they delay it again. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I'm probably going to get it. I'm probably going to get it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play it, but I'm probably going to get it.
I got back into retail WoW, so that's kind of like where my time is. Sync or commitment is on a game right now, so I don't want to.
Yep. That's all I gotta say.
Well, it's just another game I'd buy and not play.
Yeah. No, I understand. I get through it. Especially like holiday season is very busy for us because we have a ton of reviews. So I never get, like, there's hardly times like this after that we're gaming after the podcast, I assume.
I hope, as long as my internet.
That's the only time I game for the most part, unless I'm testing. Like if I test in a gaming mouse or a gaming keyboard, when I'm testing graphics cards, I don't really get the game. I get to open the game and run the benchmark.
Turn back around.
Yeah, that is basically it. So one more piece of gaming news this week. The game that we'll be playing later, Apex Legends, is coming to Steam on November 4th. This is kind of the thing. A lot of EA titles are moving over to Steam because they want more people to play their game. There's people who just outlaw other game.
Yeah, I mean, the launchers, right? I mean, yeah. I don't know how many launchers I've got. I have a whole bar of them across the top of my screen. Mm-hmm. You know, Origin, Uplay, you know, Blizzard launcher, the Battle.net, you know, Steam. What else is up there? You know, there's all sorts of them. And then, like, sometimes, like, just trying to remember, okay, what launcher do I use for this game? It's just nuts.
Yeah.
So bringing them back into Steam, it's fine.
Yeah, I like it. Obviously, it doesn't make a difference to the game. The game's not changing. So. Good to see that. That'll be happening on November 4th, and we'll get to what we have coming up next week. I still have not finished my review on the N1925 massive case. It's such a nice case. And they actually sent me some of these fans too, so we'll have some pretty cool RGB fans in there.
Serious
in
the loops, build. Yep.
I yeah, like in them. The build that I'll be doing. You actually use these in your...
What did I did do? Prior to the Alpha Cool build. Yeah, I had like six of those Serious Loop fans in there. I just like the design of them. I like the thin LED light ring on them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I will be taking a look at that. And then you'll be taking a look at an AIO from Cooler Master. It is their Master Liquid ML280.
Mirror, yep.
Yeah, mirror. So,
you know, looks similar to some other AIOs we've seen. A 280. So it's obviously two 140 millimeter fans on the radiator. It's pretty basic all in one. You know, mention some of that in the review, obviously. It's, you know, kind of flashy on the lighting, as we can, you know, you can kind of see there. It's got some lighting there. But past that, it's pretty bare bones.
Kusher Tech said about the Inwin fans, he said, what are those Chinese RGB fans? Yeah, and they're all like the same design for the most part. If you guys check out Kusher Tech's channel, he reviews a lot of like the no-name fans, and some are actually really good. So if you want to check out his channel, he does a lot of that, which is actually pretty cool, because there are some good kits from like no-name brands that mm-hmm. are like, and if you look at the Corsairs, they're, you know, the ones that are very expensive, you might not get software control, but if you want like decent RGB fans that you maybe have a controller or whatever, there are actually some decent ones out there. So that, he has some good cool stuff on his channel. So check that out for sure. And then we have one more review, because we'll be next week. We will be recording on Thursday. We're not going to be recording on Wednesday next week. If you guys know, there's something launching on, I can't talk about it, but there's something launching on Thursday. You guys can do your research and see what that might be. But I'm sure you can guess what it is. But yeah, that we're moving the podcast to Thursday, so we can talk all about that at length, next week. So definitely, stay tuned for that. And, we come to the end here. We talk about if we've done anything tech related, saw anything, watched anything tech related.
No, I'm just like happy every day that I don't look over and have a leak in my system, so I'm, you know, still happy with my build building skills, right? No, I've been trying to do some video work here and there with Hit Film Express is kind of what I've been focused on using, just trying to learn it and just some of the quirks of video editing in general. So yeah.
Video editing is, I remember when I first started doing it, it's very daunting, because you know nothing. Like it is a decent amount of work to learn, but once you learn it, it does get a lot easier. But then you're always learning, because the programs change. Like I use Premiere, it changes all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some
things that feel like they would be there and more like intuitive, I'm like, how do I just put this here? And it's not intuitive at all, but
yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah, the programs are definitely hard to learn when it comes to video editing. I broke a monitor
Yeah, you did. And I was a little curious. You're like, hey, this one's bad. And then I saw later on that, oh no, you broke it. It didn't go bad.
Yeah. So I broke a monitor.
Yeah.
Which I'm not happy about. I was taking a panel off of this computer and I had a screwdriver and I don't know what I was doing. It just smacked off my screen. And I looked at it. And I'm like, you can't be serious. Like, I've had this monitor forever. And it just, nope. So,
dope.
Yeah. I thought about it. I'm like, well, this sucks. I do have another monitor, which I'm using right now, but I'm like, well, okay. I will be moving in April, far away from where I'm living now. So I was like, I'm not going to buy a big monitor that I then have to move again. And you always run the risk when you move far distance, even if you move short distance, that something could get broken. So I didn't want to spend a lot of money on a new monitor that could eventually get broken.
Yeah, makes sense.
But now I kind of, it's like, okay, I broke a monitor. So now
I got to replace it.
Yeah. I have to replace, this monitor. And well, why not just, I've been looking and I've seen them at 49 inch, super ultra wide, so massive, huge. But there's so much space.
There is things. For things. Yeah.
Because, okay. So I had a 34 inch ultra wide, which I love. And I can do two windows pretty much side by side that are perfect, literally perfect. For productivity, for everything. I have a full big screen for doing photo and video editing. Love it. But then I just always like to have like a little window over here for Twitter, you know, other stuff going on. I mean, if guys, I don't know if you've seen Ryan set up, but he has like five monitors or something crazy.
Three, but okay.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe I'll stack two 34 inches. But if I just hit the 49, I would just have like this awesome.
And your neck work. Would be just like, bulked out in a couple.
It's the Amazon 30-day return. So if I don't like it, I can take it back. But you don't know, because I was always a two monitor person for the longest time. Could not do without two monitors. Then I went to the 34 ultra wide and I was like, yes. I don't want to go back to two monitors because I love not having a bezel in the middle of my screen or wherever. So
do you split your like windows most of the time half and half, so you're always like kind of looking to one side or the other?
Yeah I do.
You don't center one and then like do two smaller on the outsides?
No, one's on one side, one's on the other, but I'm used to that, I would say.
Okay.
So but yeah, we'll see what I mean they're not cheap. I think the one that I was looking at was $1,300 or something like that. But again, I always say this, and it says there's certain things that's worth it when it comes to tech or anything. I always say,
well, how much time do you spend there?
Yeah. I always say things that you use and you touch: keyboard, mouse, monitor, and chair.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you should spend the most money on. I mean, obviously your internals, depending on what you're doing, but, people think it's crazy to spend like $1,500 on a chair. You're using it, you're sitting on it every day
with
extra body. Spending money on a monitor, you're looking at it every day. And if you can also become more productive with whatever screen setup you have, it's worth it, because time is money. Your hands are very important if you're typing. You want to be comfortable. Keyboard for sure, mouse, the same thing. That's my
I've also heard it like, spend money on the things that separate you from the ground, essentially. So like tires, you don't want to cheap out on tires, right? Like your mattress, because you're spending a lot of time sleeping there, and shoes, right? Like if you're on your feet a lot, like spending that money there. So same thing goes here.
Shane's in the house. He always shows up late for some reason. He said, did I get that ultra wide? Not yet. I'm looking into it. And then Ultra Speed Demon says, what are the chances I buy the 3070 tomorrow? I think, like, again, I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow that you can buy them, which means I have to wake up early. Because I think it's probably the same thing, 9 a.m. Or is it 6 a.m.?
And are they offering this on their site, or are they only offering it through Best Buy?
I don't know. Because
remember, they were going to shift that over to them?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know where there's a Best Buy around me. All those went out of business.
We used to have three, like, in
yeah, oh, in our yeah, team, like,
which every, three was nuts.
every like place or like little, like every major area around the Pittsburgh area all had Best Buys, but
there's like a Lowe's, a Best Buy, right? Like it's just those Applebee's or something similar all in those little clusters, and they just put them.
But I would hope that they're available. But again, that just makes you think, like, why are there no 3080s then? You know, it's it is very interesting. So if you can pick up a 3070, I think it's a great, depending on what you have, for the most part, it would be a good upgrade. And if you're building a computer, it's a great thing to base it off of because it's the perfect 1440p card. And you can do 4K if you wanted to. I say that about so many cards, but you can do it if you wanted to. Or if you're doing 1080p at high frame rate, it's also a great card. So. So yeah, so we will be jumping on over to Twitch to play some games. Playing, what are we playing? Apex. Wow, I'm like losing my mind. Yeah, we will be playing Apex Legends over at Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. That's where we do all of our gaming. If you want to continue the conversation about tech and everything while we're gaming, we definitely can do that. If you want to make fun of us for how bad we are at gaming, you can also do that. Shinny will be over at Twitch.
We assume.
Yeah, we assume he'll be there. We need somebody to carry us. So Shinny will be over there. We'll be playing. But yeah, I want to thank everybody for hanging out in the live chat. We love talking to you guys. And if you're listening to this on, of course, later on audio, we appreciate you subscribing to the podcast and listening to us. Obviously, next week we will be a day later, as I said. So we'll be on Thursday. So definitely mark your calendars because we have a lot to talk about next week.